Well, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Welcome, everybody, to Nashville, Tennessee. I'm here at this big rodeo that's going on out here. It's called the NRB, which stands for the National Religious Broadcasters Hoity-Toity. Let's all get together and have a great big event. And we do this once a year. And it's pretty interesting, man. Pretty cool mix of people in the house and in the room. And it's kind of fun just to wander around and to see people. And guys, on today's broadcast, I'm going to be coming to you live with friends from all over the place, people you're going to recognize. And just so you're going to want to hang in. You're going to want to hang in from one end of this all the way to the other end of this. And I would encourage you guys to start right now sharing this. Go, dude, Pastor Troy, he's back from Uganda and he's rocking the world and he's out there in Nashville. Yes, he is. All of my radiant glory. It's been a whirlwind, guys. It's been a whirlwind. You know, I did my whole conference, and it was a big conference, biggest conference I do in the whole world. Then we had the ice apocalypse, and then I drove in the midst of the ice apocalypse. I made it to DFW Airport, took off, went to Qatar, spent a couple of days in Qatar or Qatar, left there, went to Uganda. I was in Uganda for 12 days, and we went from one end of the country to the other end. Then we went off to Sudan, and I got to hang out with the machine gun preacher for a couple of days. And that was fun. I got so many cool stories from that. Then we left there. I went back down to Entebbe. We rescued 39 families out of the Congo, and we rescued them from Islamic slavery. Almost 600 people, loaded them all up, did all that. Went down to Entebbe, went to my security company down there, saw my brand new arsenal with guns that just came in from Turkey, and went and checked all that out. Hopped on another plane, went down to South Africa, hung out down there for several days on the west side, and then took off, drove 3 hours, and spent 3 days and three nights with Dr. Andre and the folks at the Faith Dome. Left there, flew 2 hours to the west end, got on a plane, flew 10 hours to Qatar, got on another plane, flew 16 and a half hours back to the United States. And that was in time for me to be in church on Sunday morning. I left yesterday, and here I am today. And I'm sitting here with my good friends, Pastor Larry Ragland.
Come on.
And Brother Tony Merkel.
Wow. Sir.
Here we are.
I thought I was busy.
Man, I'm just sitting, my head is spinning from that, just to
fathom
that. How
do you remember that? It?
Oh, yeah. Man. That was incredible.
It was crazy cool. When I get back on Friday, I have a funeral to do on Saturday. Mm. I have church to do on Sunday. And then Monday I'm leaving, and I'm going to Mexico City. I'm speaking at the World Cup on Tuesday.
Wow.
Doing a halftime show.
What? In front of everybody.
In front of a billion people.
Wow.
Yeah. That is insane, man.
I get to hammer them for Jesus.
Favor, baby. Only God can do that.
I get to hammer them for Jesus. Yeah, wow. Only God can do that.
Yeah, it's only
man.
God. Yeah.
And, you know, man, they're expecting a billion people to hear this Yahoo tell everybody we got to stop trafficking.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell everybody this is the role of the church because the governments won't do it. And the president of the nation is going to be sitting there on the stage.
That's amazing.
And so, and also to the ambassador, the American ambassador to Mexico. Is going to be there with me. And I get to hammer the whole world, man. I don't even know, man. I don't even know how
it
happened.
Like 1/8 of the world population is going to watch you speak about that?
Pretty much,
that's wild.
That's right. It is.
So I'm going to suck my belly in. I'm going to wear like a man girdle or something. Is what
hey, you got a billion people. You got to look your best, man.
Man, I'm losing weight, man.
Come on. You're looking good, bro.
I am, man.
Awesome.
I am. And I just want to just say, now listen, we're all redeemed and we're saved, but Pastor Larry Ragland, I've always been strangely attracted to you.
Well, my goodness, I don't even know how to respond to that.
Well, that's okay. You
in
don't
a godly
have to.
Way.
I just wanted to just bring it out in the open because I know it's awkward. I just don't want it to be awkward anymore.
Exactly. This is classic. This is video gold right now,
guys.
Wow.
No, man, I'm going to have a good time. I'm so glad to have you guys with me, man.
Thank you, man.
And you're about to go down to South Africa to the Faith Dome. You're going to preach there for 5 days.
Yeah, I'm flying out tomorrow straight from Nashville to Atlanta, and then a 16-hour flight to Johannesburg. Next day after that, I'll be in East London, Buffalo City, and I'll be there Saturday through Thursday for the Knights of Glory that you kicked off. You were there, and you kicked it. I've watched it, both of the two or three services. You were there. I watched all of them. In fact, I was texting you one night, right before you went up on the stage.
Yeah, man, you were.
And live, you tore the house up. It was incredible.
Man, it's such an easy place to preach, Pastor Larry. Man, you're going to love it, man.
I can't wait.
Okay, so they got this weirdo. Okay, so it's 11,000 seats inside that church.
Yeah.
11,000 seats.
It's insane.
Wow. 650,000 square feet inside that building.
That's amazing.
And they got this round stage that's right in the middle. and it rotates every 10 minutes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah. I thought you were walking around.
No.
The stage rotates.
The stage
I did not
rotates.
Know that.
Don't get dizzy. Don't get
oh,
dizzy.
Oh, my goodness.
It rotates. It's like the big ball in downtown Dallas, man.
That's insane. Get I did not know that. I've never picked up on that watching it, that it's rotating.
Yeah, and they wow. and they have cameras all the way around it.
Wow.
And so
that's
whichever way you're facing, crazy. They put a camera on. Yeah, it's a trip. And then the band is all the way down at the end. Mm. They bring the sinners on. They bring the sinners. They bring the singers on the side. They brought this singer up there. They brought this singer up there.
Yeah.
Praise God. But the band is all the way down at the end, way down there. Mm. And they're a killer band, man. Mm. Oh, nice. My gosh. Nice. Man, they're such a good band. House, man, the youth there, you're gonna love every minute of it.
I can't wait.
You're going to love every single minute of it.
I'm honored. I'm honored to be there.
It's a great honor.
Yeah.
Seeing Dr. Andre in his element. I've had him out at my ranch.
Yeah.
I've been on his television show, which you have too in Florida.
Absolutely, yes.
But seeing him in his element is a whole different mamba jamba.
He's a unique man.
He sure is.
He is a man of faith, come out of the Word of Faith movement, but he is such also beyond that, a man of compassion. My wife noticed that too when we were down in Naples. I preached for him at his recent revival conference that he had in Naples. And she absolutely was drawn to him and Pastor Jenny, that they were just authentic.
He is authentic. He's the real deal. And, dude, you talk about a swinging visionary.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
What a visionary.
Did he give you one of those belt buckles with the built-in knife?
Brother.
That is a – I got a belt buckle, brother. And I can't take it. I started to bring it, but I thought they'll take it from me at the airport.
Yeah, you can't take
but
a risk.
It's like a cowboy belt buckle, and it has a built-in knife in it. And you just slide, and the knife comes out.
Now, take your chances. Take your chances.
That's outstanding. See, I need to have my own line of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
I need to have my own line.
Yeah.
Troy Burr Ministries,
yes.
Belt buckles with a knife in it. Tony Merkel, my good friend. I love you so much. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. Glad to be here.
Gosh, I can't tell you how many people that I have talked to here said, you know, Troy, I follow your ministry. I support your ministry. But I first saw you on Confessionals.
Wow. That's awesome.
You've really helped us, man.
Praise God.
You really have, man.
Listen, we all have our callings in life and... You know, I got this podcast, and I love platforming people that I love and believe in. And I know when Larry was on my show a few months ago, you said you had, what, 8 or 9 family show at your church
now? We now have 10 people that regularly attend our church that came from me being on your program, that saw me on your program, and about 3 of them drive over 2 hours one way.
That's wild.
Each way because they saw that, and they can't find that anywhere. It was on your show.
I love it.
There's a loyalty that comes with radio ministry that is unlike television ministry, and there's a loyalty that comes with podcast that is unlike television ministry.
Mm. Yep.
It's so dadgum different. So, yeah, I'm telling you, I can mark times in my life where we went from here to there, and being on the Confessionals was actually one of those for me, man.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God. I love that.
I want to say thanks for that, man.
Of course.
You've helped me rescue a lot of kids.
Good. Wow. Good. Yep. Let's rescue more.
Yep. And I think that you're the one that got me hooked up with him. Isn't that correct?
I introduced you, but this is, I don't know if you remember this, I would introduce y'all, I think, at your booth, but it was y'all talking where you first felt to reveal the story of seeing the giant.
I had a Joe Biden moment. I forgot
exactly,
what I was doing.
Exactly.
I forgot.
That's where it came from.
He goes, did I ever tell you about the time I saw a giant? I'm like, yes, more. Tell me more.
Oh, my gosh. So I had never planned on telling anybody I had seen a giant. Not publicly. Privately, I'd tell everybody, yeah, man, we saw this entity. We saw it.
Amazing.
And I spoke to it, and it bowed up and threatened me and all kinds of madness.
Crazy.
And, I mean, that fits into my worldview so perfectly, but it doesn't fit into normal Christianity.
Well, that's going to have to change soon.
But it's changing, and we are changing that, because these are the days of Noah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Things are absolutely changing. The supernatural realm is more and more manifesting in a very tangible way. And the more we go through time and we start seeing that, people are going to have to truly start making real decisions and not just like, oh, I'm a Christian or I'm not a Christian. Am I really going to be a real Christian? Am I actually going to follow Christ? Because Christ is the only one that's going to have to be the one that saves us from what's coming.
Yeah.
Our core value of being loyal to Jesus is what has got us into all this.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Not been that we're just a bunch of weirdos that want to look into weird stuff. No, it's the fact that we are loyal to Jesus and we cannot stand the deception as lovers of the truth. Of what we are seeing going on all over the world and everywhere around us.
So the truth is, you can't even preach the gospel if you don't understand that. Because the gospel what Jesus, when you understand what we're talking about, the incursion, Genesis 6, Noah, Nephilim, all the crazy things, giants and all that, you then begin to understand a lot of things that Jesus did, why he did the things he did, where he went, why he said certain things of where he said them, what mountains he went to, why he did them. This was all a part of crushing the agenda of that seed war and of what happened in the days of Noah. And it's very, very strategic. He's very, very strategic in his words. He knew exactly that they knew what he was talking about when he said, as in the days of Noah. He knew this crowd is not going to be like the crowd in the last days that are just thinking, oh, he's talking about a bunch of animals on a boat. No, he knew that crowd knew what he meant, and the remnant is going to know what he meant.
Absolutely.
I was just reading in Revelation where it talks about a fifth of the world gets killed in the tribulation by the beasts of the field. And everybody has always just read that and just thought that is, you know, wild dogs or something. No, it's not. It is Nephilim. That's what that is. You cannot read the book of Revelation and see, you know, the horrible orc army that comes up out of the ground, or whether it's a fifth of the earth being murdered by the beast of the field. These things are called beasts, and the mark is called the mark of the beast, and that has to do with a hybrid thing. Mm. That has to do with something that is hybrid.
Yes.
And it's beast-like.
Yep. Yeah. I think we're seeing that with the whole disclosure movement, too. There's information coming out that I think what's going on, there's it's multifaceted, but I think there's part of it which is Nephilim hybrid beings that are masquerading as these ET things that are coming from far distant planets. They're not. They're actually local, much more local than you
imagine. And I think ultimately the key word is it's all about allegiance. The enemy has always wanted allegiance. I think that's what disclosure is going to be about, is who are you going to give your allegiance to?
Yeah.
Who is the creator? It's going to be the creator narrative. Allegiance, is it to this God? Well, this God's got a, you got a God, the Muslims got a God and all this. But we want to let you know that we're the ones that made all that up because to try to keep you guys from killing each other. The truth has to come out now. We need your allegiance because we're really God. And I think that's really the end game of Genesis 6, that the only ones that are not going to be deceived, that Jesus said it would be possible except for one group, or we're going to be the ones that are equipped for that moment.
It is loyalty. It is the fear of the Lord. And I want to, you know, even the mark of the beast, you can't make it compulsory for people to receive the mark of the beast. You have to go through the ritual.
Yes.
And if you refuse, then they cut your head off.
Yeah.
Right? So you're going to have to actually claim loyalty. You know, a lot of people are afraid, oh my gosh, what if I've already accepted the mark of the beast somehow and I didn't know it? No, it doesn't work like that. You have to give your complete loyalty to the beast and to his system and to the image of the beast, which speaks.
Yeah.
Right? It's all the beast, which is all hybrid. I think that the mark of the beast actually changes your DNA to where you are no longer redeemable.
I believe that too.
And so because the gospel is still being preached, there's still people being saved.
Yeah.
You still got all that, but yet there's a class of people that become unredeemable. I think that that's because they're no longer the sons of Adam.
This is, boy, you just confirmed something for me, because I've thought that for years, is that, you know, when people talk about the mark of the beast, they say right hand or forehead, the mark.
Yeah.
They're so scared about this mark, but they always forget to read the rest of it. In the image of the, on your right hand or your forehead, and they worship the image of the beast.
Yeah, exactly. It's a decision.
So, it's a decision. I think what you're saying, I hope this is what you're saying, because this is what I'm feeling, is that what makes them unredeemable, maybe the mark is actually the stamp of what you just made your allegiance to, and then you become unredeemable because the mark actually injects some type of fallen angel technology.
This is not something you're going to fall into by accident. No. You're going to make a conscious decision to do it. And that's why scriptures like Galatians 1:10, where's your loyalty? Is it in man? Are you seeking the approval of man, or are you seeking the approval of God?
Come on.
You know, and that it's so important as we walk through these end times that you are focused on Christ and where your loyalty resides, because there is going to come a time where you will be tested. Mm. You will be tested with your loyalty. And if you are not walking it out authentically, you will be deceived, and you will be somebody who are like, oh, I would never make that decision. You will make that decision if you're not truly connected to Christ's hip. Mm. Don't be faking it. You can't be faking this anymore.
Preach it.
I'm preaching to preachers.
You know, so what I've always said is, and I've just got about 30 seconds here, but what I've always said is, the issue is not if we're alone in the universe. The issue is not if there are mythical things that are not mythical. They're actually spiritual beings with true physicality. The issue is not any of those things. The issue is, are they of God's camp or not?
Right.
Because I'm sticking with God's camp.
Come on.
That's what I want to do.
Yep. Yes, sir.
I'm about to bring on another guest, but I hope that you guys will come back
and we can
spend a lot of time just unpacking this.
Let's do it.
Will you guys do that?
Absolutely.
Friends, I'm talking to Tony Merkel. I'm talking to Larry Ragland, my really good friends, and they're going to be joining me back here in just a few minutes after I bring on Pastor David Hernandez. But first, I need you guys to know I'm out here at the NRB. If you need a friend or if you need a prayer, call us. Call us at 877-413-0888. Tia and all my good friends are standing by right now to answer the phone, to stand with you. Because, listen, we don't want you afraid. We don't want you afraid. And we also want you equipped in these last days. I am going to toss to a rescue story. And this is a story of one of my favorite little girls in the whole wide world. Her name is Emily, and right after this short video, I'm going to be continuing this discussion, but with Pastor David Hernandez. It's going to be awesome. So you guys are going to join me again here in a little bit.
Yes, sir, we will.
All right, guys, here we go.
The story of Emily is really harsh because her dad was a big-time cartel, big-time child trafficker, and he forced his little girl, his biological little girl, to actually take care of the girls that he was trafficking. And this girl got tired of it, and she's a tough little girl, and she set them free, and she busted them out, and they got away. And then when her dad found out that she was the one that set all these other girls free, he turned her over to traffickers. And that little girl thinking, my daddy will have mercy on me because he is my dad. He has no mercy in him. And said, you don't want to be my daughter? If you want to be among the slaves, then you too can also be a slave. These guys are demon possessed. I don't want to go into the entire story because it is so bad and it is so heartbreaking. But I can tell you that they tortured that girl and they literally skinned her. Then she was put into a pornography ring that was especially brutal and involved torture. And at the time that we rescued her, she looked like a boy. She identified as a boy. That was part of her abuse and part of the form of pornography that they put that little girl into.
Well, it looks like we're having some kind of technical difficulty there, but that was a really cool look for me. I like that look. Yes, exactly. That's okay, man. You made it here anyway, man. Guys, I'm here at the NRB in Nashville, Tennessee, with my really good friend, Pastor David Hernandez. I can't believe you're here, dude.
It's a joy to be here with you. This is a great setting.
Is this your first time to be here at the NRB?
No, this is actually, believe it or not, it's my third. But I was very low-key the first couple years, really didn't know much. We're just kind of just checking it out. This year, we kind of know a little bit of the ropes, and so we're just walking around, saying hello.
Man, dude, people. You ain't low-key anymore, man. The Lord has blown up your ministry.
Well, praise God.
Yeah, praise God. I mean, that was his plan. It wasn't your plan. Mm-hmm. It was his plan. And you're super humble about it. But what's real is God's giving you a big imprint now. What's that like? I'll tell you what that was like for me. But what's that been like for you? How long have you been in ministry? And what's happened over the past couple of years?
Well, I started preaching when I was 13.
Wow.
And when I was about 14, the Lord gave me this, I would call it a download. That's the best way I can describe it. And I saw the different structures and facets of the ministry. And we had been living out of that vision, so to speak, up until just recently when the Lord kind of showed me a new vision after all these years. So it's been 23 years. And it's just been this very gradual. A friend of mine named Pastor Phil Muncy says it like this: gradually, then suddenly.
Yep, that's exactly what it was for me. We were a church of 18 years, less than 100 people in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, we were rescuing kids all over the world, and we were doing missions. We had a tremendous missions ministry, both globally and domestically. We have a huge food bank, and you know, we're feeding people and helping people. But, man, our church just was very small. I had a very small voice in the United States. And then I turned 50 years old. And, oh, my goodness. The Lord didn't trust me with what he's trusted me with in my 20s or in my 20s or 30s or 40s. He waited until I was 50. And What I learned through all that is God is much more interested in building the character of the man than he is of building the ministry of the man.
I believe that.
And so you've been through that, you know? Well, you didn't just start off.
Even looking at just some of the things as recent as the last couple of years, I know myself. Mm-hmm. Had certain attacks come 10 years ago, I probably would have quit.
Yeah.
But now it's amazing to me that with the help of the Holy Spirit, I like to say the Holy Spirit's the hero of this story.
Yes.
It's not that I'm just this resilient individual who's persistent. And yes, there's diligence involved, but I would be 1,000 pieces on the floor if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. And supernaturally, he sustains everything to where even when attacks come, when pressures come, responsibility, even those seasons where there's so many good things, you're going, which one is God? It's been the Holy Spirit guiding all along. And so I live by that, not by power, nor by might, by my spirit. I pray all the time, help me, Holy Spirit, because I can't do it on my own.
What do you say the main theme of your ministry seems to be? And has that changed throughout the years?
I would say since the beginning, it's been the Holy Spirit. He's a person, yes, but also that's a biblical topic, the Holy Spirit. There have been, of course, teachings on healing and deliverance, but primarily people say they know the ministry for the Holy Spirit. And that really has been one of my passions, to introduce the Holy Spirit to this generation. That is just, it's burning in me. Now, there's the salvation message, of course. As an evangelist, I preach salvation to the lost. But in terms of the teaching ministry to the body, I really feel strongly that's my mandate, to supplement the body of Christ in the area of the Holy Spirit.
Well, man, I learn from you. I watch your stuff all the time.
Oh, that means a lot.
All the girls, all my team, everybody here, man, we all love you. We all watch your stuff. We're like, hey, man, did you see this? Did you see this? And we learn from you. I actually steal some of your language sometimes.
I love it.
And I'm just like, yeah, man, you've given a great language. But in the midst of your language, to me, man, the thing that stands out about you, brother, is just the demonstration. Mm-hmm. You're a lot more demonstrative of the Holy Spirit and what it's like to live a life of a kingdom man of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a big deal.
Well, I think that the character of Christ is the most important. Mm. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I mean, I'll be the first to admit, as I read the New Testament,
I heard you cussing a while ago, and I was very... No. That wasn't you. I'm sorry.
That's
I apologize.
Different guy, probably.
I'm sorry.
Right now, the heresy hunters are going to clip
exactly
that.
Right. There they go.
You know, I read the scripture all the time, and I honestly, and I'm not saying this to sound spiritual, I am honest, this is a frustration. I read through the word and I go, there are so many ways I'm not like Jesus, and I really want to be like Jesus, and everything in me says, Holy Spirit, burn out what's not of you. I can be impatient, I can be forgetful. There are so many different things that the Holy Spirit has to work on. And so when I talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, I like to say first and foremost, the greatest demonstration that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life is the fruit of the Spirit first. Then come the gifts.
Yes.
So the fruit is first and foremost, then the gifts. Now, I believe God will use anyone. God, the Word of God is so powerful.
Yes.
That He'll back it even when a hypocrite preaches it.
Absolutely.
Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? He doesn't deny they did works.
Yeah.
He denies that he knew them.
That's exactly right.
And so to me, the power is not even the greatest. Like you said, it's the demonstration of the nature of Christ, the character of Christ. And so to me, it's am I being empowered to be a good husband?
Yes.
Am I being empowered to be a good father?
Yes.
Am I being empowered to be a good friend, a good son, a good brother?
Yes.
And then from there, everything else kind of overflows.
Come on. You know what? I like to say all the time that God hasn't called us to win everything. He's called us to bear fruit in the midst of everything.
Yeah.
And
wow.
I want to win. Okay. I mean, I'm not a highly competitive person, but I mean, I want to accomplish things. I've always been a huge visionary. And I mean, when I wake up every single morning, I make this tremendous list. And I mean, I will get those things done. I'm bound and determined. I also know that a lot of those things I'm going to fail in, but I'm not. As much as I want to see his kingdom come, and as much as I want to get stuff done, in the midst of my failures, I can still bear good fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the money is. That's where the rubber meets the road. Friends, I'm talking to Pastor David Hernandez today, and I know that some of you guys have questions for us. And while I got him, if you'll type up your question on whatever platform you're looking at, my two ladies that are sitting right on the other side of that camera, they're going through all of our social media platforms, including our friends at odx.tv, And they're literally looking for questions. If you have a question, you're like, oh my gosh, I've always wanted to ask him this. Here he is. He's sitting right here. So I double dog dare you to do that. All right. So yeah, we as Holy Ghost people, I'm a Holy Ghost guy. We have, the gifts are so attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And with the, if you fall in love with just the gifts, you tend to fall in love with the personality or the brand of the person that is bringing the gift. And we have to be fascinated with the heart of the Father and with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We have to do that. And that's where the Holy Ghost is moving today. He's turning our platforms into altars.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
I like to say that preachers are servants, not celebrities.
Amen.
And so I think even with the culture of social media, it's got a lot of good things. You and I use it to our benefit.
Of course.
For the advancement of the kingdom of God. But there also is that danger where people enter anyone could start a social media platform, anyone can begin releasing content, and there's that danger of stepping into areas God didn't anoint you for. And I'm not trying to inspire fear or say that, you know, it's only for a certain elite that can post online. Do what God leads you to do.
Amen.
But while you do what God leads you to do, remember that the character and the nature of Christ has to be first and foremost. And sometimes we try to rush past where God is promoting us. And in so doing, what's inside isn't strengthened. And if I'm not internally sustained, then when I step under that responsibility, the weight of that responsibility will crush me because I wasn't internally prepared.
So good. I like to say, Pastor David, that opportunity cannot be ambition led and driven. Opportunity has to be servant led and driven. And as long as we remain the servants of Christ in the midst of whatever kingship and dominion that he gives us, as long as we walk in the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is everything to me, man. I am a huge loyalty guy. And to me, the fear of the Lord, one of the aspects that comes with the fear of the Lord is to consistently conform my life into loving what God loves and hating what God hates. And that's part of my loyalty with him. And the fear of the Lord, man, will keep you out of so much trouble, and it'll keep you out of getting a big head, and it'll keep you out of all these different things. And I think that a lot of reason why we see so much controversy and scandal within the body of Jesus is the love of God is there, passion for ministry is there, but the fear of the Lord is not there.
I was interviewing a few months ago now, John Bevere. Yeah. And he was telling the story of a preacher who he had visited in prison. This preacher had fallen, and the preacher basically told him, hey, I loved Jesus, but I didn't fear God.
Until I went to prison.
And exactly.
I had that same preacher, the world-famous preacher, tell me the same thing. And I also read that in John Bevere's book, which I will read anything that brother puts out.
Absolutely.
I love John Bevere. I don't know him personally. You need to hook me up with him. I love him. But, what a frightening thing to say, I learned the love of God, but I never learned the fear of the Lord until I went to prison.
Yeah, and it's that. And another thing that people don't think about when it comes to walking in that way, look, God will anoint his word, as I said, and you can flow in the gifts. But that power that was meant to anoint you is the... I don't think we appreciate, because we use the lingo so much, the power of God, the power of God, the power of God.
Come on.
I mean, the creator.
Come on.
The mastermind. The beginning of all things. Alpha, Omega. That raw substance flowing through you. It's not that you need to live holy for the power of God to flow. Not necessarily. Because God will use hypocrites. God will use his word. It's that power, if you're not living holy, will torment you. And this is why some of these preachers have lost their minds.
They lose their minds.
Because they're living that double life, and it's intensified because of the anointing.
I think I'm probably more scared of a double life than I am of anything. Honestly.
That's a sobering statement.
I mean, I'm very aware. The scariest verse in the entire Bible to me is where it says, and Samson went out not knowing that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. That is a sobering statement. That he was so talented at his gift that he couldn't even recognize the Spirit of the Lord. He couldn't even tell if God was with him or not anymore. I want to ask you, because Misty is on here, and Misty asked this question. The question she asked, she wants to ask, Pastor David Hernandez, I got you. What is, when you lean into your favorite verses, what are your favorite verses?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it depends upon the week I'm having.
Yeah, exactly right.
And I love a gentleman by the name of Harry Hills, an old school preacher that used to come to our church. He instructed me, read the book of Acts again and again and again and again.
Awesome.
And so that's something I pour over. Now, the book of Acts is probably one of my favorite books. The book of John was the one I read when I first got saved. I could just go all day on all the scripture. Galatians, talking about the life of the Spirit.
Come on.
But the book of Acts, there's something about the book of Acts, if you're talking as a book as a whole, that to see the Holy Spirit, I don't know if this sounds heretical, I wouldn't even call it the Acts of the Apostles. I call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit.
So good.
Through the apostles.
So good.
And there's this beautiful demonstration of the nature and the power and the beauty and the glory of the Holy Spirit
so
at
good.
Work. So the book of Acts for me is that. And any scripture I'm going through, my process is meditation. If you do this, I'm not criticizing you. I don't do the 1 year Bible reading plans or anything like that.
Okay.
Because I like to go slow. I don't want to read past the chapter just to read it and get it checked off my list. It could take me sometimes 3 weeks to get through a single chapter because I'm reading it again and again and again and again.
Wow.
And looking at the verses and the words and the original meaning, studying the context, studying the history, and very slowly, methodically appreciating, pouring over the scriptures, and then praying them out loud, meditating. I think one of the issues is people will read it, check it off the list, turn around and then go on social media or go on with their lives. I think there needs to be that moment of pause, and this is something I do in practice. You pause after reading and reflect and let it settle into
the
heart.
All right. So for this man of God, it ain't about a favorite scripture. It's about his favorite book, King Jesus. That's awesome, man. Okay, Lisa Ferris says, can you please share your most memorable Holy Spirit encounter, you being a Holy Ghost guy?
I used to battle severely with, I don't know if I ever told you this, Troy. Did you know I had panic attacks?
No.
For years, and as a preacher too. And I share that publicly. You know, I felt a little embarrassed about it at the time, but I thought, no, people need to know.
Yeah,
the
they
truth.
Need to know, of course.
Because I think they'll be encouraged to know that. And this had been something I had battled with since I was young, but it developed into panic attacks in my early 20s. One night, I'm getting ready to preach. I'm tired. I feel like the ministry is failing, at least in the natural sense, by man's metrics. My marriage was strained because of my anxiety. My friendships were strained because I allowed my anxiety to strain it. And here I am. I felt done, Troy, like quitting. I go the next morning. I'm preaching in North Carolina. We have to get up at 4 to be at an early flight. My body's aching. I'm tired. I witness in front of me a car accident. Car flips over. I don't know if the person lived or died. They never gave us that information, but it was a horrific car accident. So my anxiety just goes through the roof. I'm about to get on the plane, anxiety through the roof. I fall asleep that night, wake up the next morning. I'm lying in bed staring at my ceiling. And I don't know if you've ever been so depressed and so anxious that you're just numb, empty, like just a hollowness. I'm staring at the ceiling, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to me. And it was like he was interrogating me about my whole life. He said, do you remember when you were a little boy and you were afraid to go to school because you thought the other kids would make fun of you? I said, yes, I remember. Do you remember when you went to a theme park with your mom and dad and you were having a good day until anxiety got you and you started panicking? I said, yes, I remember. Starts to go through all these different stages, showing me my anxiety, same fear, different forms. And then he says this to me, and I'm telling you, this is one of the biggest breakthroughs in my life I've ever had. He said, why don't you believe that I love you and that I plan to do good things in your life? When he said that, it was like a well just broke. Tears. I felt the heat of the tears just streaming down my face. My body's trembling. And that day, there was a major shift and turning point in the area of anxiety because the Holy Spirit spoke to the root, which was, I didn't believe God loved me. That's one of my most memorable encounters with the Holy Spirit.
Oh, that's beautiful. I pray, man, that you have that breakthrough. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, if you've been experiencing this kind of anxiety, if you've been experiencing just fear and maybe hopelessness, maybe you're actually feeling that this thing that Pastor David's talking about where it's all about, man, I don't even feel like I'm alive anymore. You know what? I'm telling you, Jesus can break that. In fact, I like this whole thing of the breakthroughs that I have. I believe that I can give those things away. You've had that breakthrough. Man, will you pray over all of our people? You look in that camera and pray, because there's so many people.
Well, I want to pray something simple over you, that you would have an encounter with the precious Holy Spirit. And in His presence, you find joy and peace and healing and deliverance. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift that one to you now who is receiving this by faith. And I pray, precious Holy Spirit, that you would overwhelm them with your love and peace. Press in, precious Holy Spirit. Let them sense your glory abiding with them. Help them to be aware that you're in the room with them now. And I pray you break every bondage in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Yeah, Father God, sir, I just agree. I agree, and I speak the peace that passes understanding. And just declare a rock solid belief in that King Jesus, sir, you love us. And Father God, you love us. And Holy Spirit, move about and touch every single heart in every single way. And I love you, God, and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, whenever we were praying, I felt something touch my eye.
Interesting.
I was like, what is that all about? I felt something touch my eye, man.
That's interesting.
That is. I've never felt that
in
my whole life.
Haptics every now and then.
Yeah, man. I'm like Jack Elam looking around. Like, what the heck is that? But I literally felt something touch my eye. So praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Pastor David Hernandez, it's such a privilege to speak with you, man.
It's a joy to be with you, my friend.
And I love you. I love your ministry.
I love
everything
too.
About you. I'm so proud of you. And we're going to have to get together and do some more stuff.
Let's do it.
Hey, if people want to find out about your ministry, where can they find you?
The best spot to go is DavidHernandezMinistries.com. At DavidHernandezMinistries.com, you'll find blogs, podcasts, a free school online. There's lots of resources there for you to experience the presence and power of the Holy Spirit.
All right, guys. Well, I highly recommend this brother. I love him. And I felt the Lord in a tremendous way, man, when he was just praying. It was crazy cool. And literally felt a touch on my eye. I need to look up scriptures, you know, on that. And I'm thinking about the apple of your eye, you know, if you touch it, your entire body reacts. I'm thinking about all kinds of that, but I felt something in the Holy Ghost just touch my eye.
I love that.
So
the haptics,
praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. I love that, Amen. Man. All right. Pastor David, thank you again for joining me.
Blessings, Steve.
Friends, whenever we come back, I'm going to be sitting here again with Tony Merkel and also with my good friend Ben Hughes. He's going to be here with me. But first, I'm going to toss you over to a piece of the episode of episode number five, season one of our latest show that's called The Counter. And this one was all about miracles. Watch this.
The guards literally put us in a room with 170 other guys and said, kill them.
Her daughter goes, it's okay, mama. This just happened to me. I just got set free. It's coming out. So we just began to command that spirit. It's very common when you lead somebody out of Islam or out of Hinduism. There's a generational principality that has authority, and it doesn't want to leave.
We've been so shackled by the spirit of mammon.
We have.
We're not allowed. True. We're not allowed to believe God for big things.
I had $4 million stolen from me. And then in return to that, I turned around and tithed on it. I tithed on that. And when I tithed on it, we ended up with a building that was worth $4 million, and I got it for $1 million.
And I sat there, and my buddy's looking at me going, what's going on with you? And I said, it feels like shards of glass are getting pulled out of my brain.
Well, I nearly just got up and left because Mike Cingarelli is right over there. We're like, Mike, we love you, man. We call you blessed. So we're all like, hey, I nearly got up and they're like, no, man, you got 4 seconds. So I'm back. But anyway, we'll definitely get him on here within the next few minutes. Joining me right now, guys, at the NRB in Nashville, Tennessee. This thing is just this big media rodeo, man. And it goes on. It's just craziness. And so we're having a good time. We're doing tons of interviews. I can see Rick Renner right over here. I can see Kelly Copeland right over here. If I just look around, I see Ben Brewer over there. I see I see all kinds of people, man. There's everybody. Look at all, it's amazing to have everybody under the same roof, ain't it?
It's wild.
Ben Hughes, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing really good.
It's good to see you, man.
Yeah,
man.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing awesome. You and I went to the Grand Ole Opry together last night.
Oh, man, that was so fun.
So fun. People that just don't know, they just don't know. And so I went to the Grand Ole Opry 5 times last year, Tony. And I also went to the 100th anniversary. So the night of the 100, which I had to buy those tickets 4 years in advance.
Jeez.
And I'm going to tell you this, man. I had somebody offer me $20,000 for my tickets.
And you sold it, right?
I did not.
Oh, jeez.
I said, nope, I ain't doing it. I'm going to that thing. And I'm so glad I did. It was crazy. It was good to have you guys here, man.
Thanks for having us.
Excited to be here.
So do you know Ben?
I met him this morning. Yeah. That's about as much as I know about Ben.
We bonded over haircuts.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
It's amazing. Remind me not to go to y'all's barber.
It's almost like a superpower.
Right. And both of you guys got beautiful heads. I was telling him yesterday, I said, dude, you got a good-looking head. Man, I'm telling you right now, I look like the Elephant Man underneath that hair. And I've got, like, all kinds of knots and holes and strange things all over the place. No, man, it fits you guys. It works for both of you.
Thank you. Well,
I'll take the compliment.
Yeah.
You know, if you got to be bald, you might as well have a nice-looking head.
Yeah, you might as well have a nice-looking head. Well, bless you guys. So we're talking about all kinds of crazy stuff. Let me tell you about this guy, Ben.
Yes.
So Ben and I have been friends for a long time. He has this amazing wife. You can't really talk about his ministry without talking about his wife. They're this power couple, and they're originally from New Zealand. And her mom was, they became missionaries in India and all kinds of stuff. But he's got this crazy cool evangelical ministry. So he's a big-time evangelist. Awesome. But he operates in signs and miracles and wonders. He's got all these really cool miracle stories, man, from all over the world. And he's really cool, man. You need to get to know this guy.
I do. Come on. That's kind of my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, right on. So this guy, he has a podcast that's called The Confessionals. It started off as, I would say, a paranormal podcast about really blurry and scary things.
Love it.
And I started listening to him, I would say probably 4 years ago is when I started listening to Tony. But one of the things that's happened since he has a long-form podcast is you can see this amazing journey that he's been on in Christ and into this identity of being this man of God that's reaching untold numbers of people for Jesus. And that was not what he got into this for. It's been crazy. It's been a crazy ride, hasn't it?
It's been wild. I mean, when you sit there and you across from the table for somebody and you listen to them tell their stories and their experiences and supernatural, and you're talking about supernatural on both sides, the good and the bad, you know?
Yep.
Like we can talk about evangelism and, you know, sharing Christ with people and people being healed and those kind of things, but there's also an inversion of that. There's a dark side of that as well. And when you sit and you talk to people for so long about that stuff, you at some point as a Christian have to come to the realization, it's like, I can't pretend that I don't know
what
I know.
That's right.
And I would be absolutely an inauthentic host if I did pretend that, and essentially a sellout. So,
yes.
You know, if I'm going to be a sellout, I'm going to be a sellout for Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And so when you start recognizing what's going on and the warfare that's happening around you, the principalities that are seeking your destruction on a daily basis, you have no option but to go to war every day.
Yeah,
you know, you suit up and you go into the battle. And I've just understood more and more as I've done this show that Christians particularly need to understand that if they're living life on cruise control, they got to stop with that nonsense. Because if you're sitting around and you're a Christian and you're just like not really 100% dedicated in your walk with Christ every day, stop wondering why you're getting your butt handed to you.
Right.
Like you're literally waking up every day in the middle of a war. And you're acting like you're just in the middle of a field picking dandelions.
Yeah, yeah. You're not. There's no such thing as Switzerland in kingdom.
No.
You can't just stay out of the war.
Right.
You just can't do it. And everybody loves the idea of staying out of the war. And what's real is you just get into the no man's land, which means you get shot at by everybody and everything. Mm-hmm. And so I've actually seen that journey with you, man. I mean, same thing happened with me, you know. And we were involved in rescuing kids all over the world. And then these kids would go through the same ritual, satanic ritualistic abuse in India and in Nepal and in Uganda and in Mexico and all throughout Central and even South America. And they would tell the same exact stories. And I'm like, there's no way this is not global. This is global.
Yeah.
There's no way that there's not a precision and a focus to it. And what is that? And when I started looking, and this is, you know, decades ago, there was no, you know, Al Gore had not yet invented the internet for us. There was no place for us to, I just couldn't deny, as you said, I knew what I knew. And I had to reconcile that with the ministry and with the identity that Jesus had given me. And it's like, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
And there it is.
I really believe it's a part of the awakening, though, that's coming to the church. Like, we find ourselves preaching all the time. Just if the church could actually realize, hey, God is real.
Yeah.
The devil is real. Angels are real. Demons are real. Hell is real. Heaven is real. Right? We actually need an awakening, yes, of just that very simplicity. We have an almost atheistic Christianity, especially here in the West. And Hebrews 11:6, I sign every book that I write with Hebrews 11:6, because it says, you know, without faith it's impossible to please God. But there's a verse we kind of rush over, and it says that if anyone comes to him, he must first believe that he exists, right? Comma there, stop and take a breath. Do you actually believe that God exists?
Yes.
And of course we brush over it. Oh yeah, I believe in God. No, because if God is real, it literally changes everything. Changes everything about our life, how we live our life. And if God is real, there's a real devil, there's a real hell, there's real angels, there's real demons. And I'm one of these guys that still preaches the Matrix. You were born into a war.
I do like you. I'll tell you. Go ahead.
No, you go. You can go ahead.
No, it's just the way the world is operating right now, there is a spiritual awakening. Mm. On all fronts, there's a spiritual awakening. And there are people who have been starving spiritually for generations.
Yeah.
And they're finding themselves needing a spiritual existence. And so they're finding themselves going into New Age, because that's like the candy shop. It's quick, it's easy, it's tasty. It gives you these quick hit results.
Yeah.
But, and you hear people say, oh yeah, I believe in God, like you were just saying. It's like, no. That's the wrong question. Who do you say that I am, right?
Yep.
So it's like, I'm not here to ask you, do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the biggest question, because a lot of these New Agers, they say they believe in God. They think they believe in Jesus. We need to be direct with these people and interact with them in a very direct way, so they understand what we're saying. Yeah. So that we can actually pierce the veil for them and allow them to see Christ for who he actually is.
Right. Right.
The veil is being rent, the scrolls are being released, and the seals are being broken in these last days. And you're going to have to claim a loyalty. Hmm. And so hey, do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I do. Okay, but are you part of his camp? Are you loyal to him? Do you know him? If it comes out this year, say, let's just say the government comes out and says something fantastic, like, we're not alone in the universe. Or let's say they come out and say, we've always been partnering with these deities or with these beings from some craziness. If something like that was to take place this year, the question is not, are we alone in the universe? The question is, are they of God's camp or not? And then it's going to come back down to our fierce loyalty and our fear of the Lord in him. And the whole idea that we can be cultural Christians and not be fiercely loyal to Christ and to his kingdom is ridiculous. And that's what he's been cleaning up.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. 100%. These times that we're living in, there's going to be a lot of deception coming, tons of deception coming. And if you are a milquetoast, fence-sitting Christian, you are going to be taken by the storm. And you're gonna find yourself walking away from your faith, completely confused. And you don't need to be in those shoes. You don't need to. All you have to do is truly fall in love with Jesus.
Yeah.
Just follow Christ, and he'll guide you through this whole thing and get plugged in with people who do the same thing. Don't be the only one out there by yourself. Like, literally get plugged into a community that follows Jesus Christ. That's called the church. Get involved in a good church so that when the storm hits, you're not going through it alone, because I promise you, the storm's coming. How do I know it? Scripture says it's coming.
Come on.
Matthew 24 says it's coming.
Yeah.
It would be so bad that he would have to shorten the days. So it's like, why are we going to pretend that we don't see that in the scripture? It's either that you're pretending you don't see it in the scripture, or you actually don't believe it. So if you actually don't believe it, we got another thing we have to talk about first before we can get to anything else.
I think people are really also waking up to the level of evil that's really in the world. You know, I think for guys like yourselves, you know, you experience this evil on a daily basis. But I think for much of the world, you know, all of this Epstein stuff, all of that kind of thing, they're seeing the true actual evil that's in the world. And I think that God will actually use that for this level of awakening. Okay, there's real evil, but you know what? there is real good. We really need Jesus.
That's right.
The answer is the, and this is my one of the scriptures I'm taking great hope in, that Romans 8, you know, where it's like all creation groans and waits, they eagerly wait for the revealing of the manifestation of the sons of God. And I think we're going to walk in right now to these men and women who are really, truly rising up in their identity, really knowing how to fight, actually knowing how to fight, knowing how to decree, knowing how to actually go to war, both in the spirit and in the natural, you know, not against the world, but for the world. And I think that's a really important thing, too. Like, we're not fighting against the world. We're fighting for the world,
yes.
You know?
Well, these are the last days, man. These are the last days, and we're going to have to get this thing right. We got to get it down. We have to be loyal, fiercely loyal to King Jesus and to his kingdom, and step up into the places of identity and assignment that he's actually given us, and we cannot play around. So in just the few minutes we have left, I know that you've been all over the world. You do amazing things. I mean, you literally preached in Times Square, right? You've done these amazing things where you've seen thousands of people saved at one time. So do you see a revival coming? Do you see, how does that, in the midst of all this bad news, man?
Sometimes I think we need to get out a little bit more. People need to, you know, we get so stuck in our own little world. And, you know, as I was sharing with you, just in Mexico last week or the week before, you know, hundreds of people running to the altar to get saved before an invitation was even given.
Wow.
I saw it.
Throwing themselves on the, it was concrete, that we didn't have any carpet, we didn't have any padding. People are literally prostrating themselves on the dirt and in the concrete, hundreds at a time before even inviting people. And this is what we keep seeing. Last year, you know, I saw it in Peru, I saw it in Cuba, I saw it in Mexico a couple of times. We saw it even in Australia. And of course, God's moving in America. In Times Square, you know, we saw many, many, many people right in the heart of Times Square giving their lives to Jesus, literally falling out under the power of God on the street in New York City. You know, like, so God is moving, and it's so important. Where do we focus? Where do we focus our attention? You know, like, we got to look for, well, what is God doing? Where is the banqueting table in the presence of my enemies right now? And be feasting off of that. Too many are feasting on all of the dirt, all of the junk. What's God doing? And he's really moving.
He is awesome. And I don't want to miss it. You're not going to miss it, Ben Hughes. You're not going to miss it, Tony Merkel. I'm not going to miss it. I mean, I'm not going to. I mean, I'm like, nope, I'm all in. I'm 2,000% in.
Come on.
I'm a drop-dead, sold-out Jesus freak for the rest of my life. Come what may, whatever information, whatever things we see, whatever those things are, I want God Almighty to be able to count on me to be able to stand and to not be shaken in this day, and also lead in a way that causes other people to stand and to not be shaken.
Absolutely.
Amen. Come on, we're in.
Well, I am going to toss to counter episode number 5, which is about human trafficking and bell worship. And then whenever we come back from episode 5 of The Counter, which you can find at odx.tv, whenever we come back from that, I'm going to have Pastor Larry Ragland and Tony Merkel, and we're going to finish this thing up. Does that sound all right?
Sounds
Ben Hughes, how do people find your ministry, buddy?
Our ministry is called Pour It Out.
Pour It Out.
Pouritout.org. Yeah.
Pour It Out.
Pour It Out. Yep.
.org.
Yep.
How do you say org?
Org. Not aux. Org.
Okay, guys. I'm going to go to that right now. Watch this.
The guards literally put us in a room with 170 other guys and said, kill them.
Her daughter goes, it's okay, Mama. This just happened to me. I just got set free. It's coming out. So we just began to command that spirit. It's very common when you lead somebody out of Islam or out of Hinduism. There's a generational principality that has authority, and it doesn't want to leave.
We've been so shackled by the spirit of mammon.
We have.
We're not allowed to believe God for big things.
I had $4 million stolen from me. And then in return to that, I turned around and tithed on it. I tithed on that. And when I tithed on it, we ended up with a building that was worth $4 million, and I got it for $1 million.
And I sat there, and my buddy's looking at me going, what's going on with you? And I said, it feels like shards of glass are getting pulled out of my brain.
Well, you know what, man, we're all flying by the seat of our dadgum pants here. And I thought that we were going to go on for a whole other hour, but that's not the case. We've actually promised this space to somebody else to film in, and we got to keep our promises, and that's what we got to do. Here's my promise to you. I promise you that I'm not going to stop fighting. I promise you that I'm going to keep on rescuing. I promise you that your partnering with us is making a tremendous difference. I promise you that we are rescuing more kids than we ever imagined. We rescued 908 children last year. And this year, guys, we want to rescue at least another 1,000 kids. Is there not a cause? If you're all about the counter and you're like, man, I love seeing that on YouTube. I'm so glad that you saw it on YouTube. But I wish that you would watch it in its entirety at odx.tv. Because if you do that, that means that you're partnering with me. If you sign up for stage 2 or stage 3, not only will you get all of this content, and you'll be able to surf for untold numbers of hours, but more than that, man, you will be helping me save boys and girls out of the horrors of sexual trafficking. And also, man, you'll be helping me raise them. We got to raise them. I don't trust the governments of the world to raise these kids. So we raise them ourselves. We do that in Nepal. We do that in India. We do that in Uganda. We do that in Tanzania. We do that in Mexico. We do that in Belize. We do that in Nicaragua. We also, of course, do that in Colombia, Peru, and Brazil. And we recently started doing works in Cambodia. And we're helping people do stuff in a bunch of other places. And then right here in the United States of America, we just now are putting together a team of people, of next-level heavy hitters that have been rescuing kids for a long, long time, and they're coming to work for us so that we can be a lot more strategic in rescuing our children here in the United States of America, like the 15-year-old little girl that we helped to rescue last week. Last week, 15-year-old little girl down in San Antonio, Texas, we got her. Guys, we got to do this, and if the body of Jesus doesn't do this, there's nobody else coming. So I encourage you guys, go to troybrewer.com, or you can go to odx.tv, or you can call us at 877-413-0888. If you would like to write a check by snail mail, our snail mail address is coming up on the screen right now, because I don't know what it is. They're probably looking for it. It doesn't look like they know what it is. Do you have any idea what our snail? Oh, they do. Way to go, guys. So P.O. Box 3775, Burleson, Texas, 76097. All right, I got a bunch more interviews to do. I'm going to be on a bunch of other people's shows. Please be in prayer for me. Be in prayer for Mama Leanna. She is actually preaching at Open Door Church tonight. Come out and join her for this great move of God. And until the next time I see you, I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Now I'm going to go to a rescue story of one of my favorite little girls, and her name is Dina. Bye-bye, everybody.
I want to tell you a story about a beautiful little girl named Dina. She's so sweet. She's funny. She loves to laugh. She loves to play. She loves all the things that 15-year-old girls love, except for she has a tragic story. She's been a slave. She hasn't been a slave for a day or for a month, but for years and years since she was a little girl, she was literally sold to a monster. And when I say she's a slave, I mean she was literally sold to a man when she was very young. And for the past several years, she has been his working slave during the daytime, and then she has been his sexual slave in the nighttime. No choices of her own, not able to go to school, not able to do anything but to work and to serve the whims of this monster. Now, what his job was and what he owned was, he owned a big restaurant. And so she worked there as a waitress during the daytime. She worked there as somebody who, you know, had to clean things, and she did all these things. And then her health was really deteriorating because, of course, she's not taken care of and she's emotionally distraught. So they end up taking her down to the doctor. Whenever they take her to the doctor, they realize that she's pregnant. And she didn't even know she was pregnant. And yep, she's pregnant. That's one of the reasons why she's not feeling good. And then they realize that she is a minor. And then they realize who the father was, and they went, okay, this is a bad situation. So one of the things that happened was we got involved at this point, and we were able to actually bring in special prosecution to prosecute this trafficker and to send that brother under the jail, which is one of our great privileges in life. And then, of course, we take in this little girl. So we get her, and the day that we get her, she was so happy to be set free. I mean, look at her. Come on. She's like, yay, I wish I could show you her entire face, but I can't. But you can see enough that she's actually happy. And she's like, I have a life, I have hope,
good things are going to happen for me? I'm like, yes, it is. And she was so excited. So what always happens once we get these kids is we take them to the doctor and then we find out all kinds of things. And one of the things that we actually found out is that she was dang near blind. She needed glasses her whole entire life. And it was never picked up because she wasn't allowed to go to school. So we take her down to the doctor and she gets her first set of glasses. Bam. Man, it made her so happy she could see. Can you imagine the first time you're able to see clearly? And well, we were there for that moment. So she's safe, she's rescued, and of course she's pregnant. And of course, we're all a big family now. And what do families do? You know what? We celebrate that. So I happened to be in another nation and I got to FaceTime her for a gender reveal. So we had a whole party, it was a whole thing, and everybody was nervous. We can't wait, we can't wait. And then watch this. Boom, it's a girl. And this little girl is gonna be born into freedom. Otherwise, she would be born into certain slavery, but not her, not now, not on our watch. This looks like Jesus to me. This looks like redemption to me. And it's an amazing picture of how redemption works. If you've already been a part of this fight, you've already helped us to rescue and raise more than 11,000 children. Friends, there's so many more to rescue, just like Dina. So get in the fight. Call 877-413-0888, or you can go to troybrewer.com.